So I invite you to take the white insert that is our scripture text for the sermon this morning. It is found in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. But as I was working on the sermon this week, I found Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of this text to be very compelling. And so I'm going to read that instead of what we have in our pew Bible. This comes from Peterson's paraphrase of the Bible entitled The Message. So follow along on your white sheet as I read. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak softly and tenderly to Jerusalem, but also make it very clear that she has served her sentence, that her sin is taken care of, forgiven. She's been punished enough and more than enough, and now it's over and done with. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road straight and smooth, a highway fit for our God. Fill in the valleys, level off the hills, smooth out the ruts, clear out the rocks. Then God's bright glory will shine, and everyone will see it. Yes, just as God has said. A voice says, shout. I said, what shall I shout? These people are nothing but grass, their love fragile as wildflowers. The grass withers, the wildflowers fade. If God so much as puffs on them, aren't these people just so much grass? True, the grass withers and the wildflowers fade, but our God's word stands firm and forever. Climb a high mountain, Zion. You're the preacher of good news. Raise your voice. Make it good and loud, Jerusalem. You're the preacher of good news. Speak loud and clear. Don't be timid. Tell the cities of Judah, look, your God. Look at him. God, the master, comes in power, ready to go into action. He is going to pay back his enemies and reward those who have loved him. Like a shepherd, he will care for his flock, gathering the lambs in his arms, hugging them as he carries them, leading the nursing ewes in good pasture. I want you to think of a time in your life when you really messed up. Now, for most of us, there's at least one of those times and maybe several of them. Now, I know for a few of you, you probably, in all honesty, looking back on your life, can say, you know, I really didn't mess up bad in my life. But for most of us, we have those times. Maybe it was that time when we just were so overwhelmed by a particular temptation. And in an incredible lapse of judgment, we chose to go the wrong way. Or for some of us, it's that little indiscretion where we kind of compromise our integrity. And over a period of time, we keep making the same bad choice over and over again. And then the cumulative effect of that begins to wash onto our lives and over us. So think of that time, or maybe there's more than one, when you've really messed up. And if you can remember well that time or those times, then you have a sense of where the exiles are at in Babylon, the Jewish people, who have been exiled by God into this foreign land. It's what the text, through the words of the prophet Isaiah, speak of this morning. They have been taken away to Babylon because of their repeated refusal to obey God and to follow after God. God, time and time again, would send the prophets to warn them, if you keep doing this, it's not going to go well for you. If you keep messing up, you're going to suffer for it. And finally, it happens. They experience the consequences of their disobedience and of their sin. And they're taken off out of the promised land into a land of exile. But the good news this morning is for those exiles, and this is where the text picks up today in Isaiah chapter 40, as well as for us, our sin is not the final word. And though we suffer the consequences of our poor choices, our lapses in judgment, those times in our life when we have really messed up, God does not abandon us, just like He did not abandon the exiles in our devastation. And so He comes. As the text begins in verse 40, chapter 40, verse 1, with comfort. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Jerusalem there symbolizes or is the personification of the children of Israel, the children of God. Speak tenderly to them and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been forgiven, that they have received double for what they have done. As Peterson puts it, you've been punished enough and more than enough. It's now over and done with. So to this good news of forgiveness, that when we've really messed up in our lives, that sin does not have the final word, how are we to respond? How are we to respond to the good news of God's forgiveness? And that's where the prophet goes in the following verses, in verses 3 through 5. Make the road straight and smooth. Fill in the valleys and level off the hills. Smooth out the rocks or the ruts and clear out the rocks. In other words, what the prophet declares is that we should not let our past sins and the present effects of those consequences that they brought into our lives define our present life or dictate our future. Your life, your very life, was worth God's Son's death. So the prophet says, get rid of any barriers that would hinder you from receiving the good news of God's forgiveness and Christ's power to change your life for the better. Stop listening to the voices that say, well, since you messed up in your life big time, there's no hope for you. Get out of the rut that you are doomed to continue to repeat the bad decisions you've made in your past. Clear out the rocks that have tripped you up and caused you to fall and to fail morally. Throw those temptations to the side and avoid them like the plague. Why? Because as you do that, God's bright glory will shine in verse 7 of the text, and everyone will see it. Everyone will see it. Now, to keep faith in God, when we know that we have really messed up in our lives, that's not an easy thing to do. Doubts creep in. Our past failures have a way of coming back to haunt us, don't they? Make us realize our present frailty. And you know, the world will remind us over and over again about how badly we have messed up in our lives. Now you go to the bank. You're going because you really need a loan. And you're denied because of that time in your life, that tough period in your life when you didn't handle your credit cards that well. Not approved. Or you lose out on a job because of poor choices you made when you were barely old enough and certainly not mature enough to be on your own. And like the voice that we hear in verses 6 and 7 of the text this morning, there's this voice that comes. You know, the prophet is declaring this good news, but then there's this other voice. And the voice says, shout. And the prophet responds, well, what shall I shout? And did you catch what the voice said? The voice is not the prophet. This is the voice of the world. This is the voice of the evil one. These people are nothing but grass. Their love, fragile as wildflowers. The grass withers. The wildflowers fade. If God so much as puffs on them, aren't these people just so much grass? The voice of the world and the voice of Satan will shout over and over again, see, you messed up big time. You have failed horribly in your life and you are ruined. There's really no hope for you. And it's in those moments when you just have to shout back. You just have to push back with the promises that we find in God's Word. Promises like Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, where God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Promises like we find in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on God, for He cares for you. Promises like we find in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, in all things, God works for the good of those who love God, who have been called according to His purpose. True, the grass withers. Yes, the wildflowers fade. But the prophet responds, but God's word stands firm forever. And that is the word for our lives. That is the word that has the final verdict on our lives. And the promise of God will not be defeated in your life, no matter how badly you've messed up. It will not be defeated. And you know why that is? Because God is in the redemption business. God is in the redemption business. God has all the desire in the world, and Christ has all the power in the world to bring good out of bad and to redeem any mess that we have made with our lives. Somebody should say amen, right? If that's not true, why are we here? But that's the power of Christ. That is the desire of God to bring good out of bad, to bring resurrection and redemption. That's the gospel. God's love for us is not changed one bit by our rebellion. God's love for us is not changed one bit by our sin. God's love for us is not changed one bit by whatever mess we have made of our lives. It doesn't change it. For the Bible declares in Romans 5, chapter 8, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died. Sinners. So if you turn to Jesus, if you cling to God's promises in His Word, if you trust in Christ and refuse to let the false narrative that your failures have the last word over your life, God will do great and wonderful things in your life. God will do great and wonderful things in your life. Because of Christ's power and because of God's tender care, our past failures need not and do not determine our present reality or dictate our future possibilities. Let me repeat that. Because of Christ's power and God's tender care, our past failures need not and do not determine our present reality or dictate our future possibilities. That's the reality of biblical hope, which our text leaves us with. You notice that the prophet, after he says, that's right, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but look, the word of our God stands forever. And then beginning in verse 9, so climb up to a high mountain, Zion. Remember, Zion, Jerusalem, it's the personification of the children of God. You're the preacher of good news. Raise your voice. Make it good and loud, Jerusalem. You're the preacher of good news. Speak loud and clear. Don't be timid. Tell the rest of the world, the cities of Judah in the text, look, your God, look at him. God the Master comes in power, ready to go to action. He's going to pay back his enemies and reward those who have loved him. In other words, God's power is greater than the enemies that have tripped you up. God's power is greater than the enemies that have enslaved you. God's power is greater. And his tenderness toward you as his beloved son and daughter is relentless. The prophet concludes, like a shepherd, he will care for his flock, gathering the lambs in his arms, hugging them as he carries them, leading the nursing ewes to good pasture. So because of Christ's great power and God's relentless love for you, I don't care how badly you've messed up in your life. God knows that. But God can and God will redeem it if you turn to Christ, if you trust in his power, if you let his love enfold you and embrace you and change you. This, by the way, this is God's specialty. This is what God is really good at. Bringing good from evil, turning our brokenness into wholeness, and changing our sorrow and our regret into rejoicing and praise. It is absolutely the reason Jesus was born into this world. It is absolutely the reason he came. Let's pray together.